Curtis Mayfield to start the hour and move on up. And Sam and Dave with Hold On, I'm Coming. It's 18 minutes past 8, the full English breakfast show. Older people who can identify the scent of roses and smells like turpentine and have retained their sense of hearing, vision and touch may have a 50% lower risk of developing dementia compared to those with marked sensory decline, according to new research. Researchers from the University of California, San Francisco, tracked around 1,800 participants who were in their 70s for up to 10 years to see if there was a link between their sensory function and the development of dementia. At the beginning of the study, all participants were dementia-free. Over the course of the study, 328 people, or 18%, developed the condition. Among those whose sensory levels ranked in the middle range, 141 of the 328 developed dementia. This compared with 83 in the good range and 104 in the poor range. Now, the study also found that those participants whose smell declined by 10% had a 19% higher chance of developing dementia. Now, this compared to just a 1 to 3% increase for those people with corresponding declines in vision, hearing and touch. In the study, multisensory testing was done in the third to fifth years and included hearing, contrast sensitivity tests for vision, touch testing, which vibrations were measured in the big toe, and smell, involving identifying distinctive odours like roses, turpentine, paint thinner and onions. Previous research has centred on the link between dementia and individual senses. The researchers' focus was on the effects of multi-impairments in sensory function, but they acknowledged that a keen sense of smell or olfaction has a stronger association against developing dementia than touch, hearing or vision. Interesting smell, isn't it? Because that's been linked to COVID-19 as well. So much stuff we don't know about the human body, but certainly going down the route of testing people's ability to smell can be an early indicator of quite serious diseases. The Pretenders are back. This is a track from their new album. It's called The Buzz. Time for this morning's comedy. Here are Hale and Pace with a sketch about two Yorkshiremen in a restaurant.
Aye.
You!
Here!
Now! Let's go on with this.
Beg your pardon, sir?
Oh, here he goes. Begging your pardon, bold as brass, as if butter wouldn't melt, eh?
You listen to me, young man. I did not leave the sacred sod of God's own county, Yorkshire, to come down here to this Nancy Southern eatery to be lipped off by some lip merchant who's got more lip than Mick Jagger with a fat lip. The risk of sounding repetitive. What you call this?
Fish, sir.
Bullseye, get lad a coconut.
I go to top of our stairs and beat up missus. Now, what sort of fish?
The fish you ordered, sir. Snapper.
I ordered snapper, not whippersnapper. If I wanted cheek, I'd have gone to cheekmongers.
Is there a problem with the fish, sir?
Not a bloody clue. Absolutely bloody clueless.
Excuse me.
Gentlemen, is there a problem?
Ooh, look at him swanning round like he owns the place.
I do own the place.
I weren't far wrong.
At last I'm talking to organ grinder, not monkey.
A cheeky bloody monkey at that.
If I wanted cheeky monkey, I'd have gone to Cheeky Monkeys R Us.
Tell me, what is the matter?
Chelp! That's a bloody matter, chelp!
Ah, this young plate scraper's give me enough chelp to fuel a rocket to the planet Bat-Chat.
Chelp, sir. What exactly is chelp?
It's what you'll give me now! It was food I were after.
But is there a problem with the fish?
Is there a bloody problem with fish?
George Formby's ukulele! Of course there's a problem with fish. And the problem with fish is you've been chuntering on for so long, the bloody fish has gone cold.
Please accept my apologies, sir. There'll be no charge for the meal this evening.
You can bloody leave that there.
Huh? And it may be bloody free.
Yeah, but it'll still not be good enough.
Now bugger off.
Aye.
Riviera Radio. Business.
All right, Potsy.
Good morning, Robert.
How are we today?
Very well, thank you.
And how are the Swiss mountains treating you?
They're nice, actually. Normally, of course, at this time of year, I head towards the Lago di Como and the beautiful Villa d'Este Hotel. But at 6 o'clock last evening, I took my children to a public swimming pool, which was rather nice. Piscine de Nyon was in fine spirits, a little dip in the lake, rather pleasant.
You didn't dive off the diving board, did you, and splash everybody?
I didn't. It was absolutely packed.
Was it?
I haven't been to a swimming pool like that for a while, but it's interesting, of course, coming from the UK, where we've been in lockdown for a prolonged period of time. Switzerland is certainly far more open.
Right. Well, the market's pretty good on Wall Street yesterday. Of course, the hopes of a vaccine following that news we were talking about yesterday. But again, just spiralling coronavirus cases in several US states. So it's kind of mixed blessings, really, for investors at the moment.
It is. It's trying to see your way through the noise, see your way through the pandemic, I suppose. US stocks did advance to their highest level since February. The technology and healthcare sectors very much leading the way. S&P 500 turning positive for the year. Say investors receiving encouraging news from a range of potential pharmaceutical companies around delivering a vaccine in a probably shorter order than many people would have anticipated, along, of course, with US and EU leaders adding to stimulus packages. The Nasdaq jumped the most since April, up 2.5% at the close. We are looking at a better start on the European bourses this morning. Johnny Corlin FTSE up 6 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 59 points. Jack Corlin in Paris up 12 points.
It's at times, so this is still glad you're not a politician, isn't it? After 4 days of wrangling in Brussels, EU leaders have finally come up with a deal.
Yeah, landmark stimulus package agreed by those European leaders that will see the bloc issue 750 billion euros of joint debt to help member states mitigate the impact of the worst recession in Europe since World War II. So after, you say, a difficult set of negotiations, all 27 members unanimously approved the recovery fund. It includes 390 billion euros of grants. That number has come down, actually. It was thought it would have really started somewhere around 500 billion in grants. That's been reduced. There's also 360 billion euros of low interest loans. Further funds will focus on the green agenda. All expenditure must be consistent with the Paris Agreement goal of cutting greenhouse gases. The emergency fund will provide vital support for southern European countries in particular. If you look at it, you could probably argue Italy is probably the biggest beneficiary, but it also, I think, constitutes a meaningful step towards a fiscal union. The final compromise, we should remember, includes budget rebates for fiscally hawkish northern European countries, reducing their net contribution. Market's been expecting this for some time, it has to be said, but it has resulted in a stronger euro. The euro hit a four-month high yesterday, and we've seen a narrowing of European bond spreads as well.
Yeah, talk about burning the midnight oil. I mean, Chancellor Merkel was on the TV at some ungodly hour this morning giving a live update.
They love that. They love that in Europe. They can't do anything. Nothing is ever completed at 3:30 in the afternoon. It always has to be this dramatic late hour, you know, worn out politicians dragging themselves to the microphone, keeping the sort of journalists hanging around for hours and hours on end to prove that it's been a monumental battle. When was the last time they came out at 2:00 PM and said, yeah, we've agreed, it all looks fine? It always has to be this sort of charade of a late night finish.
Well, you know, it's part of the continental lifestyle, isn't it? You know, they probably had sort of a four-hour dinner and a siesta afterwards as well.
Very true, very true.
And President Macron nearly came to blows with the Austrian Chancellor.
Yeah, there have been some fraught moments during the course of this. We know the Dutch have been pushing back some of the Scandinavian countries as well. So we have seen an effect and a slightly different view on how it should have played out. I don't think it actually came to blows, but yes, adding to the drama of the evening.
Do you think that's likely to strengthen the hand of Eurosceptics? Because we know that a lot of people in Europe are not in favour of the European Union. I'm just wondering, particularly the Dutch government, they could be facing quite a lot of opposition there.
Well, that's where the compromise comes in, these rebates coming through. So certain countries will be participating much more. To be honest, the real surprise, I suppose, is around Germany. The idea of them embracing the notion of a shared debt is a significant change coming through from them. So there have been concerns, of course, as a result of the economic downturn from the coronavirus, that it could risk a fragmentation of the Eurozone. The measures put in place as a result of this huge stimulus package, I think, strengthen the bloc rather than weaken it.
I was saying, who'd want to be a politician, but would you like to be Jeff Bezos this morning?
I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind, to be honest with you, but I'm sure he's working hard and not focusing on his personal wealth, and that's probably why he's in that position. Jeff Bezos, founder and largest shareholder of Amazon, had somewhat of a good day yesterday. His personal wealth rose $13 billion, the largest single day rise for an individual since Bloomberg began its billionaire index. Amazon shares surged 7.9% yesterday. It's the single biggest rise that we've seen since December 2018. On rising optimism around growing online shopping trends, Amazon shares are up 73% year to date. Bezos' personal fortune has swelled $74 billion in 2020, now standing pretty astronomical $189 billion, despite, of course, the US entering the worst economic downturn since the Great Depression. He's not alone, though. Other tech titans have been doing well. Facebook's chief executive, Mark Zuckerberg's wealth is up $15 billion during the course of this year. And also good news for his ex-wife, who Jeff Bezos' ex-wife, who still owns significant amounts of the company. She gained $4.6 billion yesterday. Is now the 13th richest person in the world.
Still, Mr. Bezos may well have his collar felt by European Union regulators at some point in the near future.
Yeah, there's pressure coming through. There's no doubt about that. Everyone's looking at the model and making sure, of course, that these companies are not abusing their positions. It just shows you how quickly this company has been developed, started off, of course, pretty much focusing on books as the internet came to fruition, but quickly developed into a broad range of services beyond that, and particularly things like cloud computing. Some big growth areas have been helping the stock do incredibly well. And of course, the faster adoption of technology, digitalization of economies as a result of COVID has certainly played right into their sweet spot.
And have you been down Argos to buy any Philips products recently, or are you past all that now?
It's been a while, but Dutch health technology company Philips, whose products range from electric toothbrushes all the way to high-end medical scanners, shares up yesterday around about 4%, saying they expect to return to growth during the course of the second half of this year, helped by a surge in demand for scanners and other medical equipment, allowing it to recover from a second quarter slump. Core earnings at Philips slumped by almost a quarter between April and June. Well, the pandemic has obviously dealt a weakness in demand for some of its products. Philips said the virus has also spurred a 27% increase in new orders. Hospitals rushed to buy CT scanners, ventilators, monitoring equipment to help patients battling with the virus, including devices that allow remote monitoring, which Philips said they'll continue to focus on. Philips shares have recovered in recent months to levels that they were at the end of 2019. That's after losing a third of its value in the first quarter of this year.
Tomorrow's technology today, they used to call it, didn't they?
Is that what they used to say?
That was their strap line, yeah. Philips, c'est déjà demain.
They used to have good television.
No,
and
they
stuff,
didn't.
Philips, and they sold... What? No. Very good television. What are you talking
Don't
about?
Don't get
Wonderful
me started on Philips electrical items. I haven't been very lucky.
Have you had a bad run with them?
Yeah, well, I mean, once bitten, twice shy, really. Or twice bitten, three times shy, but never again.
Okay.
Sony, that's the best of televisions.
No, I was a Sony fan. I used to have a Sony Trinitron. Do you remember those? They were fantastic.
You told me this before.
Samsung are the way to go. Sony, not so good these days.
Well, you've got Sony. We've had it for 3 years. It's never gone wrong, Touchwood. It's working perfectly.
I don't know. Not for me.
All right, foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against the dollar coming in at 1.26. Euro dollar coming in at 1.145. Going to get 1 euro and 10 cents for your British pound this morning.
Right, let you go and empty the swimming pool again. Thank you very much.
Have a good day.
Speak to you tomorrow. Hank Potson, Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
I'm Rob Harrison with the top stories across the Riviera. Three people have been questioned by police after gunshots were fired in the Moulin area of Nice on Monday. Authorities sealed the area office 11 a.m. on Monday to carry out forensic tests near the casino supermarkets on the Avenue Paul Montel, where several shell cases were found. Police were called out after reports said a gang of armed people had chased a man down the street and shot him in the foot. Nobody fitting the description could be found, and local hospitals have not treated anyone for gunshot wounds. The three arrested are not thought to have been directly involved in the alleged incident, but are thought to have information which may enlighten police. The French Interior Minister has ordered police reinforcements to be sent to the area. An 80-year-old woman has been killed in a fire at a laundress in Nice. Authorities were called to the establishment at the Rue Bonaparte but could do nothing to save the victim. It's thought the fire was started by a faulty washing machine, but that's yet to be confirmed. The area has been cordoned off while investigations continue. A workman who was installing fibre optic cables in Coghlan has been taken to hospital after falling several metres from a gantry. The accident happened at the Quatre Chemins roundabout as the man was attempting to grab a loose cable. He was airlifted to hospital suffering with fractures and back injuries. Traffic in the area was severely disrupted while emergency services intervened. And a group of 15 people have been fined €135 each for refusing to wear face masks at Toulon train station. Police were called to the station by SNCF staff after the group of young men had refused to comply with the regulations and verbally abused members of the public. The wearing of face masks on public transport, at train stations and at bus stops has been mandatory since the 11th of May. New regulations requiring face masks to be worn in closed public spaces by all people aged 11 or over came into force on Monday with fines of €135 for non-compliance. In national news today, five children from the same family have died after the Renault Scenic they were travelling in left the road on the A7 in the Drôme department, rolled over and caught fire. Nine people were inside the vehicle at the time of the accident last night, with four adults all sustaining serious injuries. Initial reports suggest the vehicle experienced brake failure. 53 emergency workers attended the scene, with the injured airlifted to hospital in Lyon with severe burns. The French Interior and Transport Ministers have visited the scene this morning. And health authorities in eastern France are urging the public to stop kissing to halt the spread of coronavirus. The east of the country has been reporting a spike in COVID-19 cases over the past week, and authorities say that part of the problem is that people are reverting to pre-virus behaviour, mistakenly believing the risks are over. Handshaking and kissing hello and goodbye are being strongly discouraged, with the public advised to maintain social distancing and exercise good hand hygiene. The French Health Minister, Olivier Véran, has said there are between 400 and 500 coronavirus clusters around the country, but has played down concerns about a second wave. France recorded 25 new deaths from COVID-19 on Monday, bringing the total number of those who died from the virus to 30,177 since the start of the pandemic.
Riviera Radio, Sports News.
Cricket. England have beaten West Indies by 113 runs in the second test at Old Trafford to level the series with one match to play. The tourists put up some stubborn resistance in their second innings, but were bowled out for 198 as play entered the final hour of the match. Ben Stokes and Stuart Broad were the pick of the bowlers for England, but Stokes has picked up what looks like a groin injury and may be doubtful for the final match. The third test and series decider starts at Old Trafford on Friday. Football. There were two games in the English Premier League last night. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, this is Joe Parsons at the BBC Sports Centre. Brighton have secured their Premier League status for another season. An uneventful goalless draw against Newcastle at the Amex Stadium gave Graham Potter's side the point they needed to stay in the top flight.
We've only lost to Manchester United, Manchester City and Liverpool during the lockdown, and we faced some tough games and pressure moments. So the way the players handled that, I thought, psychologically very strong. We've been really together through the lockdown period. We've stuck together throughout, and I'm really proud of the players. They've responded to some really pressure moments and managed to get the results, which is what it's about.
Wolves kept alive their hopes of European football next season with a 2-0 win over Crystal Palace. That victory, combined with Everton's 1-0 win over Sheffield United, ends United's hopes of European competition. The Everton manager, Carlo Ancelotti, praised the fighting spirit of his players as they recorded their first win in five matches.
We're really happy, really pleased for the performance, for the spirit of the team. I think we needed this because the last two or three games were not good enough for us, and so the fact that the players showed good football, good spirit is a good signal for the future.
Manchester United's Eric Bailly is given a positive update after being taken off in a neck brace during Sunday's FA Cup semi-final defeat to Chelsea. The Ivorian needed lengthy treatment after twice clashing heads, the second time with teammate Harry Maguire. After leaving hospital, the 26-year-old said he was OK and that it was just a scare and that he felt the pain of defeat even more. And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
There are two games in the Premier League tonight, with Watford desperately needing 3 points against Manchester City and Aston Villa also in deep trouble against Arsenal. And in Formula One, McLaren's Lando Norris has confirmed he's one of the nicest guys on the grid after staying behind after the Hungarian Grand Prix to help his mechanics strip down the car. Most of the drivers jetted off following the race, but Norris got down underneath his car with a screwdriver in hand. The 20-year-old said on Twitter, "If you want to go fast, go alone, but if you want to go far, go together." He said it had been a long 3 weeks for the team and he thought they could do with an extra hand.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Be safe on the seas with Oyster Yachts.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almere Sea in the VAR, the general situation is high pressure, 1,018 millibars over the region. Winds are variable, force 2 to 4, the sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at St John Cap Ferrar, 1,018 millibars, and the outlook for Wednesday. Clear skies, force 2 to 4, northeasterly winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are variable or westerly, force 2 to 4, the sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,017 millibars, and the outlook for Wednesday. Clear skies, force 3 to 4 westerly winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Crafted by British boat builders since 1973, the best ocean-going sailing yachts in the world. The world is your oyster. Make Oyster your world. OysterYachts.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Fine in coastal areas, some thundery showers inland this afternoon. Light variable winds, highs of 28 to 32 degrees today. Overnight lows 22 degrees on the coast, 20 degrees inland with clear skies. Wednesday and Thursday mainly fine with highs of 27 to 31 degrees. Finally, nearly 65,000 music cassettes were sold in the UK in the first 6 months of 2020, according to the official charts company. The firm says this is double the cassette sales figures recorded during the same period in last year and more than the entire year's sales from 2018. Lady Gaga has sold 12,000 cassettes of her latest studio album Chromatica since its release in May, and the average cassette retails for around £10 compared with £15 for vinyl. A triple cassette edition of Chromatica is currently on sale for £23.99. Australian band 5 Seconds of Summer shifted 12,000 cassette versions of its latest album Calm within the first week of release. Now, there's also a wide range of tape players available, including personal stereos, but the format is more likely to be sold as merchandise than to play, experts say. The sales figures still pale in comparison with the biggest streamed hits of 2019. Lewis Capaldi's Someone You Love was streamed 220 million times. The British Phonographic Society said cassette sales represented a tiny fraction of UK music sales overall, despite predictions the figure could cross 100,000 this year for the first time since 2003. Oh, yeah. Pencils and sellotape are the ready in case the tape snaps inside. Hours of endless fun. Actually, I found a massive box of cassettes dating back from years and years when I was cleaning out our cellar the other week. But so we haven't got a cassette player to play them on. Maybe for Christmas.